Church community prayer Thanksgiving. Everybody should know Acts 2:42 by now. Let's say it together. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, and to share in meals, including the Lord's Supper and prayer. The basis for the church. I really believe that. And I think it's the basis for the church that he's building today. The word devoted, just to remind us, because I haven't really looked at that word for a long time, is a very powerful word. Because it says all. How do you define all? All. Everyone. No exceptions. The believers, those who follow Jesus, devoted. And remember what that word devoted means? It means to tarry. It means to continue steadfastly. It's to continue to do something with intense effort. That's what it's about. We are to be devoted to prayer. What's 1 Thessalonians 5:17, New Living Translation? I love it. It's three words. Never stop praying. I don't think we need interpretations on that one. So far, you know, we have talked about the general prayer things, and we started looking at some different types of prayers. And I've admitted to you up front, though I've kind of broken it down into five different types of prayer. It's kind of fuzzy. They all slide into each other. But for purpose of discussion, I've made some solid lines between them. But I want you to understand that there are a lot of similarities, and the lines are really fuzzy. First one, we went over supplication, which is praying for ourselves, which is significant. God is a God of blessing. He's a God that wants to give us the things that we need in life, to serve him, to bless others. Intercession was the second one. And this is where we stop praying for ourselves and we start praying for others. When we pray for things, you know. When instead of complaining about people, the governor or the president or whoever, your neighbor, pray for them. Confession. 1 John 1:9 says, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. And we're not doing these in any particular order, that this is more important than that or anything like that. But one thing we needed that we learned in that, and we need to always remember, when we sin, assuming we're in Christ, when we sin, our relationship with God is not broken. If that was true, we would always have to be camped out at the altar because we all sin. But we're not sinners, as we talk about here. But as we confess the sin, why does he have us to confess the sin? Because shame flees when we confess our sins. Remember, it's like that little baby. It's like your child, for those who have parents. When you've corrected your children, they don't look at you with a smile on their face. They look at the floor, right? So that's how they generally respond, because they have shame. They've been caught with their hand in the cookie jar, so to speak. Well, that's what's happened with us. And we tend to, when we're convicted of sin, we tend to not look at the face of God. We look down. But when we repent, shame flees, and we look back at the face of God. Again, relationship with him is not broken. Adoration. Remember the Latin word for adoration? The word adoration really doesn't occur in the Bible in the English versions and translations. It does occur twice in the Amplified. It does occur five times in the Message. But in like the ESV, NLT, New King James, New American Standard, all those transliterations or translations, the word adoration never comes. But it comes from the word adoratio. The Latin word adoratio, which means the form of saluting God, demonstrating one's reverence and great respect. And of course, I always, as those who attend here regularly know, I go to my favorite dictionary, which is the 1828 Webster's. Adoration in there means the act of paying honors to a divine being, the worship paid to God, the act of addressing as a God. It consists in external homage accompanied with the highest reverence. It's all about God. See, prayers of adoration are so important. You look at the Bible, you go through the Psalms, and you see David and the other psalmists. They're all saying amazing things about the Lord, like, you are mighty, you're powerful, you're my life, you're my hope, you're my love, you're everything that's important. And even going into the New Testament, in the books that Paul, who most people would agree is a man's man, you know, he was, just think about the life he lived. Think about the life, how he got persecuted, you know, lost at sea, beaten with rods, whipped with a cat of nine tails, stoned and left for dead, you know, just different kinds of things. And yet he wrote great prayers of adoration in the New Testament. I think personally that the prayers of adoration can be a lost art. And that brings us today, prayer of thanksgiving. Father, I pray that you just be with us, that you encourage us, that you strengthen us, that you lead us and guide us in all your truth. Father, I, as always, pray that if I say anything that is not of you, that it would fall at our feet. And if I say things, and as I say things that are of you, they would pierce our hearts and change us. And the church said, amen. Thanksgiving is a very important prayer. And I think it personally, based upon living life and watching people, I think it's a prayer that we can easily forget. And when I thought about that and started to ask myself why, I think it's because we get comfortable. We live in a nation where we really don't understand poverty. Even the poorest here have multitudes more than the people. I saw a family and met a family in the Philippines of 10. 8 kids and 2 adults, and they lived in a cardboard box. And they ate what they could find. You know, go over in places like that, and there's women who are doing things that they really don't want to do. But as I talk to several of them, they're doing it because they have kids to feed. They just live in dire poverty. There's a river, and when we would pass through Olongapo in the Philippines, we'd walk across this river to go into town, or for those few of us that went to the place where the Christians met. You walked across this river, and it was horrid. And there'd be kids swimming in this river. And I won't tell you what it was called, but it was just raw sewage, and they'd be swimming in there, just begging for coins. And idiot sailors would throw the coins and watch them dive to go get the coin so they could have a bite to eat. We really don't understand abject poverty. We're really blessed in this country. But with blessings, we can become comfortable. I've told people that I have passed the trial of poverty because I grew up where I went to work. You know my story at 13, so we could eat and do things like that. But I don't know if I'd ever want to try to pass the test of absolute wealth. I don't know if I could pass it. You know, I joke around with God all the time, and I go, you know, Lord, if you just let me win the lottery, I'll make all my friends millionaires. Well, the problem is I don't play the lottery, so I'm not sure how he's going to pull that one off, but you know, whatever. But, you know, we do. We become comfortable, and we get used to how things are. We get used to our marriages, and they just kind of become our marriages. The blessings that we get, you know, the cars we drive, the houses we live in, the relationships with the Lord, we just kind of take it for granted. And I'm not trying to put condemnation upon us. I'm just trying to for us to remember that we need to be thankful. See, who here understands that we really live in a world of entitlements? I mean, we do. Where people are expecting and even demanding everything and being thankful for little, if anything. Yet, when you look at the Bible and when you look at the kingdom of God, thanksgiving is extremely important. It's really expected to be part of everything. It's part of every prayer. What's it say in Philippians 4:6? Reading from the New Living Translation. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Don't just pray, but thank Him for all He has done. I got to figure out what to do with my water now. The word for Thanksgiving, the Greek word for Thanksgiving is Eucharista, which means grateful. The expression of gratitude to God, and that's where the word Eucharist comes from, where we have the celebration of the Lord's Last Supper, which we routinely do here on the second Sunday of each month. But it's to be thankful what Jesus did. Leonida Greek Dictionary, oh, thank you very much. Leonida Greek Dictionary says to express gratitude for benefit or blessings. I mean, Thanksgiving is important. What we talked about last week is important, adoration. But do you see the difference between adoration and Thanksgiving? Where adoration is a prayer that's given to God for who He is. You want a reason to be thankful? God. We don't need anything else. While Thanksgiving is given to God for what He has done, how He has blessed us in innumerable ways. Pulled out a couple of quotes from some people. I think you'll recognize both names. Warren Wiersbe, or Wiersbe, how do you pronounce his name, in his book, God Isn't in a Hurry. I have felt for a long time that one of the particular temptations of the maturing Christian is the danger of getting accustomed to his blessings. Like the world traveler has been everywhere and seen everything, the maturing Christian is in danger of taking his blessings for granted and getting so accustomed to them that they fail to excite him as they once did. And then listen to this sentence. I'll read it. Compare a new believer and a person that has been following Christ for some time. It's not condemnation, but if you're convicted, think about it. And another one person I'm sure you heard of, Ralph Waldo Emerson. If the stars only came out once every 1,000 years, no one would sleep that night, of course. The world would become religious overnight. We would be ecstatic, delirious, made rapturous by the glory of God as we went out into the fields to look at Him. Instead, the stars come out every night, and we watch television. How many times have you heard a person that lives in the city, grows up in the city? I've got a friend that grew up in the projects in downtown St. Louis. And the first time he went out in the country, he was an adult. And he looked up in the sky and he went, wow, where'd they come from? Because you don't see them in the city. Even in a small town like Jefferson City, with the lights that radiate from downtown, it can be hard at times. But you go out, like when I was out in Idaho a few weeks ago, out and it's just about 3 miles north of this little town on the other side of the Tetons, where it was just pitch black. I'm serious. When you went outside, you couldn't. We were all using our phones for flashlights because when you went down the stairs, you couldn't see the next stair. It was so dark. But you looked up in the sky, and it was brilliant. See, it's just part of life. Again, it's not condemnation, but we all too often grow accustomed to our blessings. Maybe even to the point, if God convicts you, that we need a prayer of confession, repenting for our lack of thankfulness. Because people have been moved from being thankful to ungodly expecting. Like Jesus has become our personal servants. I need this, Lord, and they snap their finger. I do it, but I can't snap my fingers. It's a gift that God didn't give me. Ah, that's as good as it gets, folks. But look at the Israelites, okay? They were in Egypt. They were suffering, right? They were in misery. They were just in bad shape, okay? And then they're out in the desert. They've experienced miracle upon miracle. And then another miracle comes, manna, because they're hungry. And they get excited, start dancing, and Miriam's leading and all that. No, they don't. They grumble. I want the leeks, the cucumbers, the melons, the onions and the garlics we used to have when we were back in Egypt. We ate better back there. This stuff got old. And they even said in Numbers 11:6 in the New Living Translation, but now our appetites are gone. All we ever see is this manna. They grumbled. Didn't they remember the miracles when Moses, the Nile turns red, the locusts come in, and all these things happen, and then the Passover with the blood on the top of the doors, doorposts. Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Them leaving with all the gold and everything else, and they get to the Red Sea, and Moses stands up on a hill, holds out his staff, the water parts, they go across, and then the Egyptians are coming after them, and they all start freaking out again, but they get across, the Egyptians get in, the Egyptian army gets in, the water closes over, and then the other miracles. And they're complaining. So the question is, have we ever fallen into this trap? I have. Many times, unfortunately. And I'll just speak for you all, because I think you all have. This is where you throw tomatoes or leeks and onions or garlic or something. Just make it garlic. I love garlic. Chocolate would be good, too. Has anybody here, has nothing to do with the message, but I'm just showing one of my little rabbit trails here. Has anybody ever here taken a full thing, is that called a clove of garlic, and put it on the grill and grilled it? Oh, it's almost, not quite, almost better than chocolate. Not quite. Now, if you put some chocolate on it, boy, talk about going to heaven. Hey, I had some chocolate ribs once. They were pretty good. Chocolate barbecued ribs. All right. Back on Mark here. I mean, look what the Joneses have. They just got a new car. They get a new car every other year. I'm still driving my 1947 Nash. Some of you are going, what's a Nash? I could have said a Fraser or a Kaiser. Which we had both of those. And you're really going, what are those? A what? Yeah, Studebaker. There's a guy in my neighborhood that has a 1950 Studebaker truck. It is so rad. It is so rad. I mean, if I saw a for sale sign on that, my wife would probably get upset with me. It's 1950 Studebaker pickup truck. Boy, it would be classy. I could see myself driving down Missouri Boulevard. Everybody'd be slobbering over it. Anyway, so that's my Jones, okay? I repent, Lord. So, but what's really fair, and because the truth is, we don't deserve anything. And yet God has blessed us with so much. But the reason he's done it is his. He's given it to us so we can give and help other people, so we can do things for other people, so we can help other people, whatever. You know? And some of us may be in that trap right now. The truth is we're blessed. And we have much to be thankful for. Okay? Especially understanding that we have sinned much. When in truth, and I know some people don't like to hear this, without Christ, all we deserved was eternal damnation. But God Don't you love it in the Bible when he goes, but God? Look those up sometime. Just Google or something, but God. But he responded with his son and the cross. See, we can be thankful because God has given so much. He's given him us. He gave us Jesus. He gave us salvation. He gave us the Holy Spirit, the gifts, the apostles' teachings, fellowship. He's given us relationships with each other, ability to pray, family, friends, all the stuff we have, food, shelter, clothing, transportation. And yet when you walk out in the world and talk to somebody, what do you hear mostly? Complaints. I've actually a couple of times when somebody started complaining, say, do you have anything to be thankful for? Kind of ticked them off, actually. And I wasn't intending to do that, but we do. But there's other things to be thankful for that is far greater than food, shelter, clothing, family, friends, which in reality, we can lose tomorrow, today. Romans 8:35-39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, preach it, Alphonse. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake, we are all being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. That's one of those verses that I'm still rolling over in my mind. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We're super conquerors, okay? Though through him who loved us, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about Paul's life, you know, where he has gone through so much difficulty. I mean, I think if I was him, when he first had the experience on the road, and then he gets to, and God says to Ananias, I want to show him all the things he must suffer in my name, I think I would have left. But he went through all this, but he considered none of them will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, as Paul is saying that not only do these various hardships and these forces which he mentions not hurt us, but they help us when you look at other scriptures. Remember Romans 8:28? They all work together for good. That's what one of the things my book, Vineyards in the Valley, is about. And for those who know me, know I've gone through a lot. And I'm better off for it because God is so amazing. And I'm not just saying that because that's what people up front are supposed to say. They're supposed to only say positive things, you know, and encourage people. It's because I believe it. We're more than conquerors. We're super conquerors, as I said a few moments ago, if you will. People who defeat the enemy. We have that kind of power because it's been given to us by the grace of God. See, we can also be thankful that God and his grace and his mercy and his love and his very presence is always with us. Look at it from another angle. And I realize some people have had not the greatest relationship with their fathers and mothers, but can you really ever be separated from them? They're always your father and your mother, even if they die. Physically, you can, yes, you can. But they will always be your natural parents, whether you were adopted or whether you were they conceived you. So how much more can we not be separated from our God if he is our Father? It's impossible. We can't be. After all, he adopted us. That's what it says in the scriptures, right? He chose us, capital C-H-O-S-E. He wanted us. See, I am glad that I am adopted by God more than I was a natural son because he wanted me. That's the kind of love he has for us. He wants us. He didn't have to pursue us. He didn't have to save us. But he loves us that much. So he chose us. See, his love is unfailing. It's unceasing. It's unchanging. It's unconquerable. There's a poet back in 1886, Mrs. Merrill E. Gates. I don't know why she's written down as Mrs. Merrily Gates, but I said, fine. Thy love to me, Christ, thy love to me. Not to me thee, I plead, not to mine thee. This is my comfort strong. This is my joyful song. Thy love to me, thy love to me. Or Charles Wesley put it in his hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure, unbounded love thou art. Think about it. Should we be thankful for what God has done, how he's blessed us? Infinitely. Infinitely. See, our natural parents gave us 70 years. Okay, some of us obviously on the other side of 70. And there may be a couple people in the room that's a little bit farther down the road than I am, but I'm not going to mention their names. Thanks. You're welcome. I can joke like that because when I was over visiting Bob yesterday, we were joking about the ages a little bit. So John 10:28, New Living Translation said, I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. Is that security or what? Okay, I'm not talking about the doctrine of eternal security. I'm not there. What a promise. Should we pray prayers of thanksgiving? Duh. Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious. And when he gives us eternal life and we all shall never perish, even sin is overcome with a prayer of confession. Going back to 1 John 1:9, but reading it from the ESV this time. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He cleansed us from all unrighteousness, not just a little bit, not just about 30% or 50%. He cleansed us from 100% of all unrighteousness. We are righteous. Say to yourself, I am righteous in God. I am righteous in God. If you're in Christ, you are righteous. You are holy. You are set apart. I don't think the church teaches that enough. Because people don't think they're whatever. But he forgives all our sins. And he makes us righteous. But it gets better. See, Hebrews 13:5. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, this is the important part. Well, it's all important. But I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's making a promise there to us. For in Christ. He never leaves us. How do you define the word never? N-E-V-E-R, all caps. He's going to be a preacher someday. He is. See, we have that promise. We can be free of the stuff that goes through our minds. And thankful for all he blessed us. What a glorious God we serve. I mean, he's done so much. But do you find yourself in a position where I find myself all too often that I'm not as thankful as I should be? But see, he understood that. He didn't look down and say, well, Gary's not going to be thankful enough, so forget him. He gave us prayer. He gave us prayer. He made himself access. It was no small thing that when he was on the cross and when he died that the curtain was rent from top to bottom. We have complete access, Hebrews 4:15-16. This high priest, Jesus, of ours understands our weaknesses. One of those weaknesses being forgetting to be thankful. For he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it most. Prayer allows us to come boldly into his presence. I describe prayer as crawling up on my Father's lap and sitting there and discussing my heart and his heart, obtaining his mercy, his grace, his very presence. See, prayer allows us to obtain all the grace we need in all our times of need. It just makes you want to break out in thanksgiving. There is no way, if you are praying and you're really in the presence of God, that you can't be thankful. It's impossible. I really believe that. But if you struggle with a little bit, go to the Psalms. He gives us all kinds of prayers of thanksgiving. The worship team wants to come back up. Psalm 100. ESV, listen to this. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. People ask me, why do you guys sing so long? Well, I'll just quote Psalm 100. Why don't we want to? The prayer of thanksgiving. See, it's not an option. It's a commandment. But it shouldn't be hard. Again, think about all we have. The Bible is loaded with things to be thankful for. Our lives are loaded with things to be thankful for. First, for the triune God. His salvation, his word, his teaching, his gifts. Second, for those in our lives, friends and family, spiritual and natural. See, relationships are so important. Nobody should ever, if they're in a church, should go through a crisis without having Aarons and hers surrounding them and walking with them through the crisis. No matter how small the crisis is. That's going back to the home groups. That's one of the main purposes is to build those relationships. Third, for the myriad of blessings we all experience. And I'll just close with this statement. When you think about it, prayers of thanksgiving may be the easiest prayer to pray of all the ones we looked at. When we're not in a selfish mode, because I just went through my mind was, well, I'd rather pray for something for myself. And often do when I'm in a selfish mode. I may be up here, but it doesn't mean I'm perfect, because I'm not. Anybody who knows me knows that. Ask my wife if you're unsure. But prayers of thanksgiving are significant.